Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Ryan, I can finally say it. It truly is the best time of the year.
Yes.
Because the NHL season is about to kick off. Recording this on Tuesday morning. The games kick off Tuesday night.
That's right.
Boy, what a fun ride it is. And we have a bunch of stuff to talk about before the games actually start.
Yep.
Why don't we talk about the fact that we're Canadian.
Yeah.
So we were celebrating Thanksgiving over this last long weekend, and teams just decided to do all of their transactional business last minute while we're all eating turkey and with family. So the big one that happened was Rasmus Dahlin, star defenseman for the Buffalo Sabres, signing an 8-year, $11 million AAV contract with extension. It's supposed to kick in, not this year, but the year after. Huge deal, one of the biggest deals we've seen for a defenseman, for sure, since Erik Karlsson signed for 11.5, and that was a couple of years ago, and he was much older. So, Ryan, what are our initial thoughts on this deal?
For me, I really like it. Mm-hmm. Rasmus Dahlin, I think what we saw last year, especially in the first half, was a player that will compete for the Norris Trophy.
Absolutely.
Sooner than later. It might even be this year. The Sabres around him are better, and that will help. He's got a lot of assistance on that defense core now. Not only did they bring in guys like Eric Johnson and Connor Clifton, but you have the emergence of Owen Power as well, another fantastic young defenseman. So, for Buffalo to lock up Dahlin long-term, I think was great. Mm-hmm. I think it sends a really good message to the entire organization and to the fan base that they're all in here. And, $11 million, yeah, that's steep. But at the same time, we've said this before, the cap is going to go up. And $11 million in next year's money is maybe 10 or 9 mm-hmm. a few years ago, based on the percentage of the cap. So I don't think it's an overspend by any means. When you get a defenseman that has all the attributes that Dahlin has, you lock that up.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is exactly his value right now. I don't think they got a discount. I don't think they overpaid. I think they got exactly, he will be, the thing is too, is that he's 24, it's an 8-year deal, right? So he will be 32, so he'll still have time to cash in on another deal, right, after this ends. And I was looking at some comparables here, and a bunch that stuck out was essentially Charlie McAvoy being the one that that is the highest. He got $9.5 million back in 2021. But I look at the cap percentage, which doesn't really matter at this point because, like we said, the cap is going up and it won't even kick in until the cap goes up. Dahlin's deal is 13.17% of the cap right now, which is the highest out of by far of any of his comparables. The one that only comes close is when PK Subban signed for $9 million. Back in 2014 when the cap was $2.
Right.
So it was crazy. But you get that, like you said, you get that up to $87, $88 million, whatever the cap's going to be next year, and that goes down to 10, that goes down to around the same percentage that McAvoy, that Sergachev, that Werenski, that Fox, all of these in the 10 to 11% range. I think it's fine. And the fact, Buffalo is doing a great job in the sense that they not only do they draft these guys, not only do they develop them, but then they retain them.
Mm-hmm.
And Dahlin is a guy who was a first-round pick, very, very highly touted, came up through the system, went through a lot of pain with that organization.
Yep.
His early career, we keep in mind that, he's 24, so he's been in the league for 6 years, and only now are the Sabres ready to take a step. Only now, 6 years later, really. Are we thinking, okay, well, maybe they'll make the playoffs,
Yeah.
So he's been through a lot, but extending for the max amount, I think it's a phenomenal deal for the team. Like, I think it's just exactly commensurate with what he's worth.
Yeah, I agree. And I think with Buffalo, you know, they have so much young talent mm-hmm. still coming up, and those players are going to be very important. It's going to be a very interesting dance the next couple of years yes. for GM Kevin Adams to see how he handles the next contracts of certain players and to see who really, you know, comes to the fore. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, Zach Benson, for example, was kind of the darling of training camp and you know, earned his roster spot. We'll talk about training camp yes. roster spots later on. But you look at the competition they're going to have up front in the next couple of years, Benson, Matt Savoy, Jack Quinn, you know, J.J. Pateka is a little more established already. You know, Peyton Krebs as well. You know, there's a lot of young players that are going to need contracts, but they're going to have to fight each other mm-hmm. to get those really good spots.
Yeah.
And then that's what you want. And I, like I said earlier, you know, with that defense core, you know, I mean, there's still a little bit of a room for improvement, but with Dahlin and Owen Power as your cornerstones, you've got a really good start.
Yes. And I'm looking at their cap sheet right now, and they do have... Like they right now they have $8 million in cap space. That will obviously be less once it kicks in and the cap will go up, but still, like, they will get a ton of money off the books. Olofsson is coming off the books.
Gergensen's.
Jeez, that name has tied me up ever since he was in the All-Star conversation years ago. Okposo, Tyson Jost, all these guys, they're all coming off the books. Eric Johnson. But, like, Owen Power's an RFA next year. Mm-hmm. He needs a new deal. And like you said, like, Peyton Krebs, he's an RFA next year. Paterka, he's an RFA after that. Jack Quinn, I'm not sure what his contract situation is, but you're right. They will have to start paying these players. And then on top of that, you go, all right, well, we want to add some reinforcements from around mm-hmm. the NHL and bring them in. And it's a tight dance that they're gonna have to play, like you said. But you really do, you need to get your pillars in place.
Yeah.
And then after that, you just deal, you try and figure out and fill out the peripheries as you can. But they have their pillars in place. They have Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins signed. Two massive sweetheart deals. Or at least, Tage Thompson right now is a massive sweetheart deal. Dylan Cousins, if he continues to produce and improve as he is, that's going to be a phenomenal sweetheart deal too. Those are your two pillars up front. And then now you have Rasmus Dahlin locked in for almost a decade. He will be on your team for at least the next 9 years, starting with this year. At $11 million, that's phenomenal. And then who knows, maybe if Devon Levi you know, beats the short King allegations and comes yeah. out. And even then, you still have 2 years of him. Yeah, there's a lot to like about this. I think just the fact that they could have paid him $13.5 million. I think just having Rasmus Dahlin in the fold for the next 9 years, those are going to be his absolute prime, best performing years. Like, he already really sort of took a leap last year.
Definitely.
And now from now until he's like 30, will be, you know, the time where he can rip off Norris Trophy nominations and stuff. I think sure. it's great.
And, you know, with that cap space they still have, do they add Patrick Kane at some point in the season?
They're one of the only...
is open.
I don't even know if I call them contenders, but they're one of the only, like, playoff contending teams that have the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. Because another one that I had heard of, like rumblings, was Vegas. But Vegas has got to do the whole dance where they're like $4 away from the cap to start
yeah.
the season.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how they make that work without committing tax fraud or something, right? Which, you know, they can do. We've seen the Lightning do it. They're in a good spot right now. And this is why they need to make, but this is why they need to make a leap this year, because they will never be both as, like, flush with young talent mm-hmm. and also as flexible from a cap perspective than
yeah.
they are right now.
Yeah.
Like, how many other teams are ready? How many other teams have the ceiling that they do this year and also have almost $10 million in cap space?
Yeah, it's
unheard
not a lot.
Of, right?
Yeah.
So this is where they need to take that leap. And I think just the sentiment around the organization that Rasmus Dahlin is in the fold and he is committed to the city of Buffalo for years, I think that's great for them.
Indeed.
Good for them. All right. Two other, and these were far more surprising, in my opinion.
Yes.
Than Rasmus Dahlin, was the Winnipeg Jets locking in two long-term pillars of their organization to identical 7-year, $8.5 million AAV deals in Mark Scheifele and Connor Hellebuyck. This came out of pretty much nowhere. First of all, no insiders got it.
Nope.
The team announced it just out of the blue. And these are two players who we expected to be potentially on the trade block. Connor Hellebuyck specifically, as the season went along, because they were pending UFAs, and now here they are locked in for probably the last contract they'll sign is in the NHL, considering that they'll both be 37, 38 around that time. What are your thoughts on these? Because I think, at least in my opinion, my thoughts on these are a lot different than my Dahlin thoughts.
Yes, I was very surprised, particularly with Hellebuck, because we had heard at least the rumors that because he is still one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, that maybe a contender could swing a deal to get him. Because again, we've talked about this before. There's so few goaltenders in the league right now that you can say are like automatic, right? I mean, Vasilevsky in Tampa, and he's hurt.
Sorokin,
Shesterkin, Jake Oettinger. Like, who else?
Like, before I would have said Markstrom, but then he did nothing last
year.
Yeah,
he like fell off a cliff.
I would say, Hellebuck is in that class of maybe like six
at
most goalies where you can just count on him year after year.
Exactly, you're confident. Mm-hmm. And so at first I was like, okay, well, maybe it's a long-term deal because then they can trade him and get more in return. But he's got a no-move clause.
He does, yeah.
With this with this new contract. So it appears as if the plan for GM Kevin Cheveldayoff is let's run it back with this crew. They tossed off Blake Wheeler in the offseason. I just don't, when I look at the Jets, it's like, okay, well, you got Hellebuck, so you got one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. Mm-hmm. You got a very good offensive defenseman in Josh Morrissey, who had a breakout year last year. Up front, you've got Scheifele, Kyle Connor, Nikolaj Ehlers, Cole Perfetti. When he was healthy, he was a
great
big driver for them.
He was great, yeah.
And when he got hurt, they fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
So I guess if you're looking at it from that perspective, you say, we should be a playoff team, and with Rick Bonus behind the bench, we'll be a tough team to play in the playoffs because Rick Bonus tends to ice very difficult teams to play against
in the playoffs,
postseason and have a decent amount of success. Now, for me, the sort of flaw to the argument is, do you think you can get out of your own division right now? Mm-hmm. If you look at Colorado and Dallas, those are Stanley Cup, I would say, favorites.
Yeah.
There's like maybe a handful of teams that you could call Stanley Cup favorites. And those two teams for me would be two of them. Mm-hmm. If you somehow get past them, you have Edmonton and Vegas and maybe even Los Angeles. If we're talking teams that are built for the playoffs, you have those teams that you're going to have to get past just to get to the final. That's a lot of teams to get through just to get to the Stanley Cup final. And you have to make the playoffs first.
Yes. And on top of that, because these are long-term deals, so you're hoping to contend during this time. You will also have to contend with the fact that Connor Bedard and Logan Cooley are both in your division.
Yeah.
Like you will be having to deal with the fact that you are facing, and specifically Connor Bedard, a generational talent.
Yeah.
For the length of this, like, Chicago's not going to be this bad forever.
Right. They'll be bad for a couple of years, but you're going to have to deal with that.
Midway through these deals, through your window, you're going to have to deal with a nuclear weapon at the height of its powers.
Yeah. And, who does Chicago get in this year's draft? If they have, like, a top three pick, they could get another devastating offensive weapon, whether it's Max Celebrini, whether it's Cole Iserman.
Yeah.
There's several different options up top there. The Scheifele one worries me because of his age in particular. Like, goaltenders, I feel, sometimes they can age differently.
Yes.
Like Marc-Andre Fleury still went strong way into his late 30s. So I'm not really concerned with Hellebuck in that regard. But with Scheifele, he's already, there's already a three on the front of his age. And then you're adding seven more years. Mm. So what type of player is he when he's 34, 35, 36. And granted, as we mentioned with Dahlin, the cap's going to go up, so the percentage of your cap hit with these players is not going to be as bad. And, seven plus, it's not the worst thing in the world. But I just worry that the Jets aren't good enough now.
Mm-hmm.
And with the exception of a healthy Cole Perfetti, they're not going to get much better unless they get some outside help. You got Brad Lambert in the pipeline. You got Rutger McGroarty in the pipeline. You got Colby Barlow in the pipeline now. I guess you hope one or two of those guys become, you know, top six stars for you
None
in the next
of those
couple
guys
of years.
Are slam dunks, though.
Like, but they're not slam dunks.
Like Brad Lambert is like the most like volatile prospect there is.
He certainly is.
He could be a star, and he could be Nelly Yakupov. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's kind of like Ailey Tolvanen in that way, where it's like, I'm not sure.
Like, it could go either way, and you wouldn't really be that shocked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you don't have any guarantees. You don't have a Connor Bedard. Mm-hmm. So that's my concern, is that this is just going to be a team that's good, not great. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I guess it depends on what your goals are. If your goals are just to make the playoffs, then, yeah, the Jets can make the playoffs. If your goal is to win a Stanley Cup, you're not there. You would basically be hoping to be the Florida Panthers of last year. Ride a hot goalie, lock it down defensively, and you know, get some clutch goal scoring from someone.
It's always great to peg a like your organizational future on recency bias. I love that.
Right.
I think it's smart. Yeah. You know what? This really bummed me out, because I realized Connor Hellebuck's never going to win a cup. And it's a shame we're never going to see him win a Stanley Cup. I'm totally fine with the Hellebuck deal. He's still one of the best goalies in the league. You know, he is 30, but you know, the fact is he hasn't played in the playoffs the last couple of years. So So he at least has had some long summers behind him, and he's consistently proven that he has kept this organization afloat basically on the ice for a long time.
For sure.
The deal that scares the crap out of me, frankly, is Mark Scheifele, because he's a very good offensive player. But he is, like, one of the worst defensive players in the league. He doesn't even try on most occasions. Like, it is shocking. If you ever look at Mark Scheifele back-checking compilations, it's brutal. And I look at this, and he's already 30. You know, he's already dealt with injuries every once in a while. And with the defensive – like, you think his defensive game is going to get better? Now that he's going to get older, he's going to get slower. He's going – and also – he just got paid. It's not like he's motivated to earn a new contract for him. It reminds me of the Robinson Cano deal in the MLB, because I remember specifically, I think it was, I can't remember who it was, but it was a baseball analyst went to say, like, oh, you really think you paid him this much money? You really think he's gonna be running out ground outs and stuff when he's like 35, making $25 million a year? Mm. No, he's not. And it's the same with Mark Scheifele. It just dooms the Jets to mid.
Yeah.
And that is the worst thing you can be in the NHL. It just dooms them to draft 17th overall every year.
Yeah. And the only thing I can think of is, you know, because Winnipeg is a Canadian market and a cold one at that, you know, attracting free agents has been difficult. Yes. So I do see the logic in, we know these guys, we like these guys, let's keep them around. Because it's harder to find guys on the open market. I can see that.
Do they like these guys though? Because every year before Blake Wheeler, but Mark Scheifele as well has had some sort of run-in with his coach. I don't know if you remember, but Rick Bowness last year, Mark Scheifele was not playing defense and said something about the system, and then Rick Bowness was asked about the system and gave the most dramatic eye roll I've ever seen. I believe their record pre-eye roll and post-eye roll is like night and day. I'm like, you can love Hellebuck, but like, do they love, like, I can't believe they still love Scheifele.
Signed him.
I guess so, and I guess they thought, hey, when are we gonna get a 40 goal scorer to sign in Winnipeg, like on the open market?
Yeah.
So we might as well, but it just seems like this is going to end like a Blake Wheeler situation. They're remarkably similar players in the fact that they are all offense. They're touted for their leadership.
Yeah.
And they're making, you know, Wheeler made like 8.6 or something last year. Scheifele's going to be making 8.5 now. And Wheeler was 36. By the time Scheifele's 36, I don't know if his offense is going to be even, I don't know if he's going to be a 50-point player like Wheeler was last year. Mm. Hellebuck, I think it'll be fine. But Scheifele, this worries me a lot. Like, it just... And it just dooms the team to the middle.
Yeah.
And I hate that. They're already, you look at this lineup and you go, okay, this is probably going to be one of the best lineups they've had. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, the cap is going to go up, but like you have Scheifele and Hellebuck making $2 million less than what they're going to make, more than that. Going to make more than what they're going to making moving forward.
Yeah.
And this team doesn't scare me at all.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a darn, diddly darn shame.
There you go.
But Ryan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Things that aren't shames are kids' surprises making the open night roster. So we basically got our it was cut down day on Monday. So we now know basically what rosters are going to look like for opening night. There are some surprises. Let's go through a bunch. Let's just have some fun. Ryan, why don't you get us started? Who is at the height of your opening night roster surprise?
Well, I look at Matthew Poitras in Boston, and you know, we knew the Bruins coming into this season, it was going to be new look. No Patrice Bergeron, no David Krejci. So down the middle, they lost two of the best.
Yes.
Right? Not just their best, two of the best.
Yes, two of the best. Just humans in general, really.
Exactly. Yeah. So Matthew Poitras coming in and absolutely lighting the preseason on fire was fantastic for them because he can be a top six center for you. And, you know, right now you got Pavel Zacha, you got Charlie Coyle, but, you know, Coyle can be your third line center. That's kind of the best for him, really.
That's all he's been, really.
Yeah. 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 You would prefer Charlie Coyle to be that big,
yes,
you know, two-way center. I mean, you kind of prefer Pavel Zacha to be that big two-way center as well, but you play with the cards you dealt with. Poitras can be that top six guy. They played him with skill guys. They played him with grinders. He had success with both.
He did everything. Yeah.
He did it all. You know, very smart kid. Obviously very dynamic. He had some highlight reel goals. So, I mean, this is great news for the Bruins. And, you know, who knows what will happen once the regular season begins. With a lot of these players, you know, we talk about getting that nine-game tryout and then they get sent back to juniors so the contract slides and all that sort of thing. But, you know, with Poitras, I mean, you know, that Guelph team that he would be going back to in the OHL, they're not seen as contenders per se. They'll, you know, they'd be fine, especially with him in the lineup. But it's not like you'd be sending him back to, like, a Memorial Cup contender. If you need him, then you can keep him. And I think he proved that he had some of the elements they needed, like I say, in a top six role. And, I mean, that's heady for a teenager. But if you surround him with good players, and we know the thing about Boston is that the culture is very strong.
Oh, yeah.
And Brad Marchand's the captain now. Mm-hmm. He's been there for years. He has been a leader for years. You have him. You got Charlie McAvoy. You got Brandon Carlo. You have guys that have been around and can help young players get into the fold, be comfortable, play their role. So I think it's a great situation for him. I'll also point out real quickly, Johnny Beecher made the squad too. More, you know, and he'll be more of a bottom six guy, but you know, he can give you some versatility where he can play center if you need him to. But otherwise, he has the size and the speed to, you know, take some minutes in that bottom six and be effective. So good to see him get into the lineup as well.
Absolutely. I guess mine would be obviously Fraser Minton. Like that, I cannot even begin to describe how far from the realm of possibility that seemed when camp started.
Right.
Because all I heard, you know, was, funny enough, from James Myrtle from The Athletic. He's a native of Kamloops. All he does is talk about Kamloops.
Right.
And he was in Kamloops for the Memorial Cup where the Kamloops Blazers was there. And he was very down on Minton because he basically just sort of froze up in the Memorial Cup, didn't do too much. And even people inside the organization, even his biggest believers, were if you had told them that he would be cracking the Toronto Maple Leafs roster with just how tight, A, their salary cap situation is, but also B, just with the amount of names and bodies that are vying for spots that are more experienced and potentially higher on the depth chart than him, they would have laughed at you, even his biggest supporters in the organization. And yet here we are. Yeah. Opening night, and even if it's a nine-game tryout, who cares? Fraser Minton, a second-round pick. He's the first teenager, not picked in the first round to crack the Leafs opening night roster. Can you tell? Do you want to take a guess at who that would be? The last one.
Oh wow!
The first player who was not picked in the first teenager, not picked in the first round to crack the Leafs opening night roster.
Oh. Yeah, it's probably like way back when. So unless it's Nick Robertson.
It's not. Oh. But Robertson is actually, funny enough, never made the Leafs out of camp.
Oh, fair enough.
But it was Matt Stajan in 2003.
Wow.
20 years ago.
Wow.
Crazy stuff. So, and the thing about it too is he has absolutely earned it. I am blown away by this kid. I'm blown away by his ability to, he has like a, the ability to knock pucks out of the air, to retain pucks. That's something that I look at as like a very pro ready skill.
Right.
You know, everyone can shoot, everyone can pass, you know, most people can skate, but there's like the little things in when, you know, a defenseman's trying to clear the puck and you're able to knock it down below your shoulders and keep it in and keep possession. And he's done that. He's been remarkable. And he, depending, like, I think it's best for his development that he eventually goes back to the WHL, but like, they need a third line center right now. You know, if Nylander's going to be on the wing, Minton has proven he has done the exact same thing that you said with Patra, where he has played with skill players and he's played with grinders, and he has developed good chemistry with both. Him and Matthew Nyes have legitimately really good chemistry together, like the chemistry of players that you would expect to be playing with each other for a lot longer than they have.
Right.
So it's a phenomenal surprise, and you know, good on him.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the 9 games, and you know, Minton would be the type of player that, if you can get him to the, like, if you're not going to keep him the whole year, then he goes back to the dub. He plays for Team Canada at the World Juniors, where, you know, you sort of say to him, like, okay, dominate.
Yes.
Have a great tournament.
Because he's never been the guy on any team he's played on.
Right, yeah. Because that Kamloops team last year was stacked. They had Logan Stankoven.
He was a bottom six player, basically, for them.
Yeah, you know? So, you know, if Canada's World Junior team this year is going to be very interesting, because in terms of eligible returnees, you're basically looking at Owen Beck and Kevin Korchinski.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about Kevin Korchinski later on, making the Blackhawks. But Easton Cowan also on the opening night roster for the Leafs, but you're thinking this more of a cap situation.
Yeah, so basically the way it goes with LTIR is to get the most amount of savings you can, you have to be as close to the cap ceiling as possible before you place guys on. And because Easton Cowan, he's a first round pick, you know, he's making 935K, which is, you know, even more than Nyes does on his ELC. He's got the highest AAV of like one of these tweener guys that you could have. So they're keeping him on the roster until they put all these guys on, so then they can get as much LTIR relief as possible, and then they're going to send him back to London where he can dominate, and they're going to then sign Noah Gregor. That seems to be what it's going with. So Cowan didn't make the team, but he was a big surprise in camp. He performed way better than a lot of people thought, and he's a big part of the future. But Fraser Minton, like, he could be a part of the present. You know, it would be better for him to go back to the WHL, but a lot of people said that at the start of camp, and he forced their hand.
Yeah.
Who knows what he can do in these, if he plays this well and shows that he can be a very good contributor for this Leafs team, he might force their hand to make him stay, just like Poitras might. You know, like we'll have to see.
There you go. Speaking of forcing hands, Tristan Luno making the Anaheim Ducks. To me, this is very interesting because we knew the Ducks have a lot of great young defensemen. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, they had the defenseman of the year in all three major junior
leagues.
They did,
yes.
So Pavel Minchikov, who was in the OHL, he made it. Jackson Lacoa makes it. He was NCAA, but you know, he made the team as well. Tristan Luneau makes it. Mm. Olin Zellweger gets sent to the minors. So this is very interesting. And you know, you always like a meritocracy. You always want your young players
to earn their spots,
the spot and to have those battles. And you know, Zellweger is a bit undersized. He's an offensive defenseman. You know, I know there are areas of his game that the Ducks want him to continue to work on. So, you know, going to San Diego, playing against men in the AHL, it's a good step for him. But shout out to Tristan Luneau, who's a bigger body and, you know, maybe a bit more of a two-way guy, but he can definitely put up numbers offensively. You know, he makes the opening night roster. It'll be fun to see. I mean, this is super young Ducks core. You know, especially, you know, Jamie Drysdale, we've talked about on the podcast before, still very young, doesn't have a lot of NHL experience because of injury. Mm-hmm. They're rolling out some pretty young guys on the back end. To me, it's kind of going to be a fun year for Anaheim where it's a big experiment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, let's see what the kids can do. We don't expect to be competitive, you know, in terms of a playoff spot, particularly in that division, and that's fine. but let's see what Leo Carlson can do. Mm-hmm. You know,
we'll avoided injury, thankfully.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see what Jamie Drysdale can do now that he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And which of these young defensemen can really stake a claim to a roster spot and maybe play the full season. So some of them are getting the opportunity already. And then you have Zellweger there if somebody gets sent down or sent back to junior. So, very interesting in Anaheim to see how that shook out.
Absolutely. Another surprise I have, it's not specifically tailored to one player, but it is tailored to, I guess, sort of a phenomenon here, is that five teams will start the season with three goalies on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
And that we very rarely see that ever happen. And there are five teams. It's Buffalo, Detroit, Los Angeles, Montreal, and Philadelphia. So Buffalo looks like it's going to be Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, Devin Levi, Eric Comrie, Detroit, Husso, Reimer, and Lyon, LA, Copley, Talbot, and Riddich. Montreal, I guess, would be
Montembeau,
potentially Primo, and Jake Allen. And then Philly, a bunch of names.
Yes.
I will not even pretend to know who the goalies are in Philly right now. It'll be like Samuel Ersson, you know, Felix Soderstrom, and someone else. But either way, this is
Carter
very...
Hart.
There you go.
Yeah,
only the, you know, the good
the
young
starter.
Goalie that they have. Yeah, exactly. So I probably just named him right there. Boom, there you go.
Yeah. Felix Sandstrom, but yeah.
Sandstrom, yes.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm very smart. Anyway, we rarely ever see, like, goalies, our teams keep three goalies just in general. We ever see one of them. Five of them are starting. And it's kind of a headache for teams because you want to get, like, you want to get every goalie you have, you know, you want to have them sort of get reps.
Yeah.
You want to have them not, you don't want to have one guy sit in the press box for the whole time, you know, because then you have an AHL affiliate, you want to send them down. And also, even in practice, like, there are only two nets.
Yep.
For like potentially a morning skate, right? There are only two nets.
Yep.
So it's what does the third guy do while everyone's warming up to start the thing? He just sits on the side and watches?
Stretches
it's,
more.
Exactly. So it's a very odd situation. I guess it goes to show that teams are worried of losing guys on waivers, specifically to goalie needy teams. Like I'm surprised that Martin Jones made it through. That's another thing. But like, you think Tampa wouldn't put in a claim for an Eric Comrie if he came around, or you know, an Alex Lyon, or even like a James Reimer if they can make it work, or any of these guys?
It's,
teams are being very, they're hoarding their goalies.
Right, and I hazard to say too, like with the exception of LA, mm-hmm. who I think we pencil in as a playoff team because they're so deep up front and their defense core is very good. Mm-hmm. You know, these are, and you know, Buffalo we expect to make the playoffs, but if they don't get goaltending, they won't.
Yes.
The other three teams we do not expect to make
exactly.
the playoffs, Detroit, Montreal, and Philly. So I think part of that is these teams saying,
who cares, man?
We don't know what we got.
Yeah.
Like, we're hoping somebody steps up, but we don't know.
It's
so
the,
three options is better than two.
It's the Dark Knight scene where, you know, they got two guys from the gang before, and the Joker breaks a pool cue in half and goes,
that's right.
We have some tryouts. We only got one spot. And that's basically what this is. Like, show us that you deserve to be the number two,
mm-hmm.
because whoever's the number three is getting sent down by, like, you know, November. So let's figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Do you have another one?
Yes. Well, we mentioned him earlier, Kevin Korchinski in Chicago. And, you know, we talked about the Blackhawks a lot. You know, the rebuilding, obviously. Mm-hmm. Connor Bedard is the foundational player that will begin his NHL career tonight.
With the way the Chicago sports are like, set up right now, he is the foundation of that city.
Interesting.
Because the Bears are terrible.
Yeah.
The Cubs are bad. The White Sox are bad.
Bad?
The Bulls are they're not great. They're
going
to make the playoffs. So, like, Connor Bedard is, like,
the
foundation
guy.
Of that city.
There you go. It's basically him and the cast of The Bear.
Absolutely. It's him and Jeremy Allen White, and that's about it.
Exactly, yeah. They're keeping it all together.
Two short white dudes.
That's right.
Keeping that city afloat.
That's
man.
Right, yeah. But they're sturdy.
Yes.
And they're passionate.
Continue, cousin.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, cuz. Kevin Korchinski, offensive defenseman, and as we mentioned, you know, he could be a very important part of Canada's World Junior team on the back end. He was on the team last year. Makes Chicago's roster. Certainly could, I mean, he easily played the nine games because you look at Chicago and it's like it's not a deep squad. So, I mean, there's a really good opportunity for him there. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, we talk about the nine games. There's no reason that he can't play more than that and get sent back to junior.
Yes.
I mean, we've seen that before as well. You know, there are different contract ramifications to it. But to me, he's the sort of player that you want to see taking on that leadership role at the World Juniors. It'll be great to get him NHL experience, mm-hmm. And you know, then he can go back to junior. You know, he won a title last year with Seattle. They played in the Memorial Cup final where they lost to the Quebec Remparts. Seattle should be very good again in the WHL, so he could easily make another long playoff run there. But, I mean, just in general, if we take this on its own merits, you have a very good young offensive defenseman that could help you out now and get some reps. And I think it's interesting in Chicago because, you know, as we said, like, the expectations are basically, like, we're rebuilding. Another high pick would be great. We want to see what Bedard can do. We want to protect Bedard, which is why they brought in some veteran forwards, you know, to mentor him, to also, you know, protect him in terms of, you know, depth, but also physicality. So for Korchinski, I'm just very sort of interested to see how long he's there and what kind of impact he can have, because he definitely has the skills to put up points on the back end, and he has some decent size too.
Yeah, and I think the best thing that could be for his development is you give him some NHL games, and he allows himself to have the self-recognition of, like, man, I can hang.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to junior where he can dominate, and he can basically just be like, I can hang in the NHL. I'm gonna kill all of you now.
Right.
And do that. And I think that's very cool. And my last one, I guess the last one that we have here, is Matthew Phillips. I just want to give a shout out to a fellow Short King. He is 5'7", 140 pounds. I didn't know it was possible to play professional sports and be 140 pounds in any sport, be it basketball, football, cricket.
You could do it in soccer. Isn't Messi like 140 pounds?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Okay, so soccer's fine, but that's just because all you need to do in soccer is just be able to run for like 90 straight minutes.
Yes.
So it's Connor, that's all you really need, right? Our producer, he's shaking his head in agreement. He is vehemently shaking his head in agreement with me, so I'm correct. But no, it's like this guy, you know, he only has three NHL games under his belt, you know, over the last one. That one came in 2020-21, so like the pandemic shortened season, and then last year, so he had a full year in the AHL where he didn't touch the NHL. But he's always been a good producer, point per game guy. You know, he's still 25, and he made the team. He made the Capitals out of camp, being the shortest of the Short Kings. He has to be the lightest, at least, player in the league.
Oh, certainly.
By like 20 pounds, I bet.
Yeah, like, I don't know what Gaudreau's at this point, but
there's no way he's like Gaudreau's probably like 163.
Yeah, that sounds.
This guy's 140 pounds. Like I could throw that guy like a lawn dart, and he made the Washington Capitals open night roster. That is awesome. Shout out to Matthew Phillips. Short guys, we can do anything.
There you go. And shout out to Ivan Marashnichenko, who battled cancer and has now made the Capitals as well.
Incredible.
In his first year in North America.
Like just an unbelievable like duo of stories on just even in the Caps organization alone. It's fantastic.
So exactly.
Ryan, you have the best this week.
Yes, I'm pretty excited about this one.
Let's do it.
These are the best old school hockey team names.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to start off with the Guelph Biltmore Mad Hatters.
Wait, what?
Yes, this was a junior team from Guelph. They were the Mad Hatters, but they were the Biltmores was a hat store.
Okay.
So a lot of teams back in the day were just like, they had like company names involved. There was also the Windsor Hetched Spitfires.
Okay.
Yeah, and I couldn't figure out the lineage of that. Like I was like Googling, like they were originally Detroit Hesht and then they moved across the border. But it's like, I was like, do I translate it from German? But it doesn't have any English thing, so I'm assuming it's somebody's name. If anybody knows, tweet us. But yeah, the Guelph Biltmore Mad Hatters, just a fantastic name for a team overall. The second one I'm going to go with is a similar vein, but when I was researching this, I found it was actually a more convoluted answer. So there was a sort of pro team back in the day called the Minneapolis Millers.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, maybe they all worked, you know, like
at the mill, or whatever. You know?
Yeah. But apparently they were named after a baseball team called the Minneapolis Millers. So now I want to know if they were named after guys that just like worked at the mill or something like that. But there was actually several different versions of the Minneapolis Millers over the years.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, when I was looking at HockeyDB, over the theme of like teams just named after where the guys were working.
Yeah.
There was a team called the Minneapolis Bungalows.
That is so sick.
Who are you playing this week? We got the Bungalows.
Not the two stories.
Nope.
You know,
it's going to be a rough one. Yeah.
No stairs. No stairs on this team.
Exactly. Yep. It's ranch style.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sticking in Minnesota, This one might be my favorite for the backstory.
Okay. Hit me.
Because it's like, it's just a one web page, but I felt like it was just a dense rabbit hole that I had no clue existed. There's a team called the St. Paul Vulcans.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Like and Star Trek.
I was wondering, is it Star Trek? Because the team was in the old USHL, I think, in like the late 60s, early 70s, and I looked and the TV show was like 64 or something like that.
Yeah, but like what else could be Vulcan? Like
well, it could be Tyre. But no, it's neither of those. Okay, so there's a community organization, like a charitable kind of thing, called the St. Paul Vulcans, and they have this wild backstory that goes back to like 1885, where there's like a Winterfest in town, and you know everybody, you know, they play games and everybody's outside, and you know it's Minnesota, so it's nice and wintry and cold and whatever. And they're like, okay, so we've got the Winter King. Who can depose the Winter King? They're like, we need a Fire King. And over the years, they added all this stuff, and there's all these like legends, and they started this group, and they're like, okay, we're gonna call it, at one point he was the Fire Coal King, and then they call, and they're like, what's better than that? They're like, let's call him Vulcanus Rex. And then they started this group that would like help with the winter fair, and then they got together in the summer and they would do different events and like help out around the city with, you know, community events and charitable things. And they started like this whole like mythology. They called themselves the Vulcan Crew.
Okay.
But it was like K-R-E-W-E. And they would dress as like all in red, like devils. And it was all like fire-based. And there's like fire and brimstone involved. And it's like, honestly, just like Google St. Paul Vulcans, it's a fascinating story that basically boils down to people that are just helping out in the community. But they've got this whole thing going. There's like leaders and whatnot, and the hockey team, they had like a little devil mascot.
Yeah.
So I assume it was related to those St. Paul Vulcans. But I started reading it, and let me tell you, it is a wild ride. I am very glad that I looked into it. I implore you to look into the St. Paul Vulcans. They seem like pretty righteous people, and they know how to tell a backstory. Let me tell you that.
Listen, you took me on a journey on that, and I am glad that I'm glad that I bought a ticket.
It was a journey I didn't even know I was going on at the time. I was just like, Vulcans, that's a cool name. Why are they called the Vulcans? And then I found the community group, and
Next thing you know, it's 3 a.m, and you're down a Wikipedia rabbit hole.
Exactly. I'm wondering how I can join up. Like, do they have one in Toronto? But maybe it's just St. Paul thing. Next one I'm going to go with is the Hollywood Wolves.
Oh, that's very cool.
Which is a fantastic name when you think about, you know, like Hollywood itself and like, you know, it's a cutthroat town or whatnot. Yeah, Hollywood's had a couple of teams.
Yeah.
This is like a sort of World War II era team. There was actually like a professional or semi-professional league in California back then. And Hollywood Wolves, just a fantastic name. But also, they had some pretty decent guys. Bill Barilko of Toronto Maple Leafs fame.
Legend,
played for the Hollywood Wolves. So that's a good one. And the final one I'm going to go with, and this is one that I looked at for Jersey Hound years ago in the magazine because I heard about it and I was fascinated. There's a team in Troy, New York. Now, Troy is sort of on the New York State-Vermont border. If I'm not mistaken, it's where RPI is, the NCAA team, the engineers. There was a team way back when called the Troy Uncle Sam's Trojans. So not the Troy Trojans.
Uncle Sam had to be
Uncle
there,
Sam's
too.
Trojans. Okay. And their logo was Uncle Sam.
Yeah, of course.
And I looked into it, and apparently the patriotic character Uncle Sam, people believe, originated in Troy, New York.
Okay.
So it's a nod to that, but for some reason, it couldn't just be the Troy Uncle Sam's, couldn't be the Trojans, it was Uncle Sam's Trojans. They had to combine it, and for that, I thank them, because that's just a fantastic mouthful of a name. And again, who are we playing this week? Playing the Uncle Sam's Trojans.
I think that's pretty cool.
There you go.
I think that's pretty rad.
So that's the best for this week.
Very cool. And to end us off, Ryan, you also have rapid fire. And I'm ready Let's do this.
Yes, so this is a big music and movies.
Okay.
Just rapid fire. I've asked this question before, but it can always change.
Okay.
What is your current pump up personal song?
So yeah, you asked me this before and I said Sympathy for the Devil by, or not Sympathy for the Devil, Give Me Shelter by the Rolling Stones.
Right.
I'd probably say that's still there because it really does. It used to be either Knife Talk or Jimmy Cooks by Drake and 21 Savage. But yeah, no, I think the Give Me Shelter really scratches an itch for me. It really gets
me going.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So you don't get songs stuck in your head?
Oh, like, absolutely. I get
that I get that thing where it's like, I'll have like a new song where it's like, yeah, I'm just like,
oh yeah,
getting pumped.
Like the new, not even like a pumped, but like I get song, like because of TikTok, I get songs stuck in my head all the time. There's this one, like, I think it was a K-pop song that was just, that literally stuck in my head for 6 months. Like I couldn't get it out, but it's catchy. But like the new Blink-182 song, like One More Time, where it's all about like their history. Like I could listen to that like three straight times on repeat. Like
there you go.
It's fantastic.
All right, yeah. So my current pump-up song, because I just get different songs stuck in my head and they become my pump-up songs. It's actually an older song that I re-listened to recently and have been listening to a bunch. It's Bruan Bren by the Norwegian hard rock metal band Kvelertak.
Okay.
I originally learned about them through Uffe Bodin, one of Sweden's finest hockey reporters.
Truly.
And so I've gotten back into Kvelertak. They're fantastic. Now they all look like dads, except for the lead singer, who still looks like Axl Rose.
Yep.
But that song, and if I'm to believe the YouTube comments, it actually went number one in Norway. And I can believe it because it's super catchy.
Wow.
So, yeah, Bruan Bren by Kvelertak is my pump-up song right now.
Very cool.
Next question. And this is sort of a quiz question for you.
Oh.
How many Olivia Rodrigo songs have I ever heard?
I bet you've probably heard, like, two.
The answer is one.
Really?
Yes, and it's Bad Idea. The
new
song, that's the only, I know
idea, right?
of.
You didn't hear, you never heard Driver's License?
No. Where would I hear it?
Well, okay, to be fair, it did come out in COVID, so it's not like we were going to like retail locations all the time where they would play it, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I've heard Bad Idea three times on the radio because Indie 88.1 has a very wide...
Of what indie is.
Apparently. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, I guess it has guitars in it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, like the Olivia Rodrigo song that stuck in my head, it's Get Him Back, just because she has like, I wouldn't even say it's like rap, it's just like a spoken word, and I just have like, I met a guy in the summer and I left him in the spring, like that, it's stuck in my head, so yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, next question. What was the most recent new movie you watched?
Oh, that's a good question. Good question. Most recent new movie I watched? It would have to be I went to go see the new Saw movie, like Saw X, which is actually very good.
Shout out to Oren Kulis, former co-owner of the Tampa Bay Lightning and producer of all the Saw movies.
Yeah, look, man, I am shocked. I was shocked at how good it is. I saw, like, I've been on kind of a movie theater binge the last little bit because I saw, like, Dumb Money, the Paul Dano, GameStop stonks movie.
And actually, in the trailer, he's wearing a Stonehill Skyhawks shirt.
Yeah.
They are one of the newest NCAA D1 teams.
Oh, really?
Yes,
because
in hockey.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting. So yeah, like I saw that. That was really good. I've been ripping through a bunch of movies. I've been ripping through a bunch of shows. But I would say like the most recent new movie would be Saw X, and I would honestly like recommend it. Like it is
nice.
Surprised me at how good it was because it's got like an 84% of Rotten Tomatoes right now. It's compared to I think that's like 30% higher than any other Saw movie.
Wow,
it's really good.
I imagine they would be divisive on a critic.
Well, I would say like the first one is really good, but I think it's more divisive because people weren't ready to give horror movies like high ratings back then, and then everything that kind of came after it was just sort of like how much more grosser can we make it?
Right.
This one really goes back to like a character study. Really,
nice, nice.
I like it. With a lot of blood.
Yeah, of course.
There's a guy getting his eyeball sucked out. Like, it's pretty hardcore.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had a nickel, right?
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. Last new movie I saw, I watched this just the other day, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
Apparently it's fantastic.
It is amazing. I knew I was going to like it because it's Seth Rogen and we're probably the same age.
Yeah.
So the soundtrack's like old school hip hop. The animation's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's funny. One of my kids watched it with us because my kids hate movies and they will not watch them. But one stuck around and admitted that it was good. So
fantastic. You
that's
broke
good
them.
One there. Yeah. Exactly. Next question. What was the last movie you rewatched?
Take a wild guess, right?
The Batman?
Yeah, there it is.
How long ago was that you watched The Batman?
Probably 5 days ago, I'd say.
Wow.
Yeah. It's my comfort movie. If I'm ever feeling down.
It's what you do instead of yoga.
It's what I do instead of socialize, really.
There you go. Yeah. Last night, me and my wife rewatched Fight Club.
Yeah, it's good, man.
Still holds up. Still
it
awesome.
Does. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's.
What else can you say? The only thing we were saying was. If they made the movie now, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross definitely would have done the score
100%, yeah.
instead of the Duss Brothers.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, just awesome.
Like, the thing about Batman is, like, I'll watch it all the way through, whereas, like, when I rewatch certain movies, like, I'll rewatch them for scenes.
Gotcha.
Know? And, like, I'll because, like, whether it's a comedy, I know, like, a certain aspect of this is really funny. But, yeah, with that, it's a great narrative tapestry.
All right. And final question. What's your biggest, I'll just say movie, TV, like let's just say streaming, you know, entertainment. What's your biggest pet peeve?
Of like, what do you mean? Like just in general? Like
in general.
Anything? Oh,
yes.
Boy. Boy, oh boy.
You know what? I will start on this one just to give you an idea of what we're going for. We started to watch, we had heard about this new Korean show called Bargain, and we're going to watch it, and it's dubbed. You can't even turn the dubbing off. They don't have that option, and we can't watch it. Because it's like, if I'm going to watch something, I'm going to watch it subtitled, because I want to hear even though if I don't understand the language, I want to hear the acting. I don't want to hear, you know, American voices pretending to be Korean.
You just want to hear, because the inflection, it's different.
It is. And even the acting style in different cultures is different, and that's what I enjoy about those movies.
That's why you watch a foreign movie.
Exactly.
You know, it's,
so, no to dubbing, and at least give me the option to turn it off.
Mine is subscription streaming services, so like streaming services that you pay money for, having ads in between episodes.
Ooh, yes.
Like for example, Amazon Prime.
Ah.
I ripped through 7 seasons of Mad Men. It's all on Amazon Prime. Because I think I got my dad the AMC thing for his birthday last year because he wanted to watch Better Call Saul. You can add that in there. But like I was between every episode, there is a commercial for like a 90-second commercial or whatever it is for like one of their shows.
Right.
And you have to physically skip it.
Right.
And I'm like, if I am paying whatever it is for Amazon, it starts at like $9.99. It's probably like $15 at this point.
Right.
I pay you money so I don't have to watch commercials.
Yes.
And this happens it didn't just happen with television streaming. Like I have DAZN for NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And DAZN is like $24-25 a month. It's like my biggest purchase, really.
Yeah.
And I read this week, I don't know it wasn't like this a couple weeks ago, but this week, if you ever were to switch a game, because I was at my parents' house, so my dad wanted to watch a bunch of different games, they would play a 15-second Pro Line commercial. So like, I could be like, oh, you know, we got like the Bengals are about to score, like here, let's switch over to that game.
Right.
And I'd have to wait 15 seconds for the same, I wanted to strangle someone.
Yeah.
I pay you so much money a month. Because, like, and on top of that, we're already watching the commercials on the broadcast.
Right.
It's not like, all right, commercial free football or whatever, which is like Red Zone, but if you want to watch an actual game, we're already watching like 3 commercials every 2 minutes because they cut away.
Yeah.
I gotta wait. If I want to switch a game, I gotta watch another commercial you can't skip.
Yeah.
It's unskippable. Get out of here. Yeah. I'm paying you $25.
Yeah. I have one other quick pet peeve.
Go for it.
When there's a teaser before a trailer.
Yes.
For like literally like coming up now, the trailer for whatever. It's like, I know, I'm the one that clicked on it in the first place.
Like
you don't have to suck me in.
Are you spoiling a trailer?
Yeah.
Like because it's always like the big action scene. It'll be like, all right, Mission Impossible. It'll be Tom Cruise jumping over a big thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wanted to see that organically in the trailer.
That's why I clicked on it. You don't have to like sell me on this. Like I'm already here.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You don't need a trailer for a trailer.
No. Silly.
It boggles my mind. It's crazy.
So there you go.
Anyway, yeah.
End of rapid fire.
I needed to get that out, so I appreciate it, Ryan.
There we go. Feel better now.
The NHL season, it is officially commenced. We'll be back next week to break down the first week. Obviously, overreact like crazy, as we always do. And anyway, so stay tuned, and we'll be back next week. Have a great week.